Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1977. The topic is Q&A, and the title is, How Much Protein Should I Have Per Meal? This question came up recently with one of my online clients. We started working together, we're in, I think, the second month, so around weeks 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there. And it's been a struggle for them. They've been wanting to lose weight for a long time. However, they are overwhelmed with the process of trying to manage healthier eating. And what I mean by that is tracking or having some awareness of calories in protein per day. So that's kind of our main focus right now. Now, they lift weights a couple times a week, 3, 4, and then they're active 1 or 2 days a week going for a walk. So they have enough kind of muscle damaging activity that we do want to be paying attention to protein to some degree, not only for general health purposes, but to make sure that the training is actually worthwhile, that they're actually repairing the muscle tissue and building muscle tissue due to the stress and stimulus of training. And then for calories, we want to create some kind of consistency. However, they didn't like the idea of staying within a few meal options. So one way that I'll do this in order to create consistency for clients is sometimes we'll say, you know, what are some normal foods you have? What are normal meals you have? I'll help them adjust their portions. And then we say, hey, for breakfast, here are 2 or 3 good options. Lunch, 2 or 3 good options. Dinner, we usually leave a little more open so that way they can have a little more variety there. But still, we have some known options. And maybe the same thing if we have any kind of midday snacks or smaller meals. They quickly became they didn't like basically the idea of options because they felt like it was very restrictive, even when we had 3 options per meal. And then we started talking about, well, instead of me coming up with a 4th option, then a 5th option, then a 6th option, why don't we have you learn how to put together your own meals? Like how you can kind of figure out how many calories you should have per meal, how many grams of protein you should have per meal. They're struggling quite a bit with that. And part of the struggle has just been trying to think how to, this is funny. I have worded it to them in their document. All my clients have an online document that we talk on each week. It's like a Google Doc, so it's live. They can write in questions they have. I can write back responses and feedback to their journals. So the reason why I'm hesitating is there's not really a good reason why they haven't been able to be more consistent. And I'm saying that in the sense that they have options. They have parameters that they can follow. We have meals, like foods choices that we said, hey, here's a good list of foods you want to eat. They're really just struggling to take the next step of committing to actually thinking ahead. They have been tracking kind of what they've been doing, but it's always tracking it after the fact. And we consistently find the calories are high and low, too high and too low for the range that we want. And protein is almost always underdone. And then I'll say, hey, here are some options. Here's ways we can correct that. And then the next few days, I just do the same stuff. And I'm like, hey, you know, copy and paste, not to be a jerk, but the same answer, still the same answer. And we're going through the process now. Now, we've talked about emotional connections to food, emotional connection to body weight. Are there any self-sabotage components that we want to worry about? So given that they're, you know, aware enough of what to do, but they're not doing it, we have to figure out why that is. Now, I'm going to skip past some of that because that's not what the focus of today's podcast is. But one of the questions that came up was they were asking is how should they know how much protein they're having per meal? I gave them many options on how they can answer that. And I wanted to give that in a podcast today in case anybody else was struggling with being consistent with protein intake. So let's go through the topic there, and maybe I'll come back another podcast someday and talk about the self-sabotage or how do we approach whenever somebody has all the information, they're just not doing it. So how do we approach that in a self-loving, self-exploration type way is, you know, my job, as I consider it, is to just be someone's like guide in the process. I try not to, and I wouldn't. To me, it seems odd to even have judgment. I have made every mistake you can think of when it comes to nutrition. I have done every act of self-sabotage and have been through everything. And meaning in the sense where I've messed up knowingly and unknowingly every way possible. So I will be the last person to put judgment on somebody and be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why aren't you doing this? I could have said that to myself, and I can still say that to myself about a million things every day. So I never would approach my role as a position of being able to put judgment on somebody. That's not productive, and it's not even necessary. It's not even what, like, why would I do that? I don't know. So the reason why I bring that up is when I'm working with somebody and we're trying to figure out, you know, what's the barrier, there's no judgment. It's just I'm curious if we run into a situation where you seem to, like, we seem to have some options available to us that we're just not using. Is it because we don't understand them? Is it because they don't actually apply in your situation? Is there an issue that I'm unaware of? Then I just try to explore and ask and figure it out more. So I know I'm already rambly, but I wanted to touch on it because it's the reality of this person's situation. And if other people are feeling that same thing, maybe I'll come back and talk about that in a podcast. Now, the concept of tracking protein per meal, there are quite a few ways to do it. It is important and helpful, especially in the sense of being proactive towards tracking rather than reactive. Most people get to the end of the day and they'll either put their numbers in that day or the next day or whenever they do it, and they're like, oh crap, you know, I was too low in my protein. Well, you know, if you learn that from one day, okay, what are we doing the next day to fix that? Like, what are we going to do proactively? If we just keep finding out day after day after day after day that we're under eating protein, what the hell is the point of tracking if we're tracking but not making corrections based on what we see in the tracking? We want to have that next step. Like, it doesn't do us any good to track that we're falling short. Oh, well, like that doesn't have an outcome. you know, it doesn't change anything. If we're going to track what we're doing and we see that we're short, well, okay, great. Now that we're aware of it, let's do something. Let's be proactive. Let's do some things for that. Now, what we can do when it comes to protein is there's a couple answers, a couple tips I'll give. My hope is that one of these somebody will hear and they'll say, oh, okay, that sounds pretty good. I bet I can do that. And that gives them more of a proactive approach and they can actually be more accurate and more consistent with their protein intake. So the first thing we want to think about is how much protein should I have per meal? The general, not meaning to be a smart ass answer, but the general answer is whatever your total daily amount, your target is, divided by the number of meals you have, there you go. So if it's 180 grams of protein is what you're supposed to have, and you have three meals per day, that's 60 grams per meal. If you have four meals per day, it's 45 grams per meal. If you have five meals per day, it's 35 grams per meal. And that's as simple as it is if you're looking for a target. Now, I'm going to talk a lot more detail here, but if you're looking for a target per meal, how many grams of protein you're supposed to have in a day, how many meals you normally have, divide them out, and there you go. That's going to be something that you know meal by meal. Am I falling short of that goal? Am I hitting the goal? Or am I actually ahead of the goal? So that way you kind of have awareness meal by meal by meal where your protein should be. Now, if you're wondering how many grams of protein should I have per day, if you want to figure that out, on our website, www.brittleirongym.com, we have a free nutrition education page. The first document on that page is titled Create Your Own Nutrition Program. And it'll tell you how many calories, grams of protein, and proper timing that you should have for your calories and protein per day, and how to do that individually. Like, so for each individual that looks at that document, they can come to their own number that is appropriate for them. So you find that. The general answer is it's typically recommended to be somewhere between 0.6 grams to 1.2 grams per pound of lean body weight. How I define lean body weight for most people, and well, I'll get into nitty-gritty details when the client's needs specify that we do so, but in general, what would be the body weight that you would feel confident saying walking if you're a guy walking around on the beach with your shirt off, or if you're a female two-piece bikini. You know, what's a body weight that you would say, okay, I would probably be lean enough at that body weight to feel really comfortable in my body, feel comfortable in my skin. I wouldn't be, you know, overly worried if people were looking at me. You know, I'm not going to feel like they judge me. So that's an idea. Now, you can actually, like, figure out, like, somebody's lean body mass and all these other things. But let's say, for example, somebody weighs 200 pounds and they're like, yeah, I think I would actually probably really look good around 175, 180. Then that's the body weight we want to use. If you weigh 160 and you think your ideal weight would be like 135, then you use the 135. So lean body weight, when we're using that to calculate the amount of protein we should have per day, that's how we kind of define lean body weight, is what you think your ideal body weight would be to look good and feel good and be happy in your skin. That's a nice loose definition of it. Now, with that lean body weight in mind, we would think, okay, I want to be within the range of 0.6 grams to 1.2 gram per pound of body weight, of that lean body weight. Typically, 0.6 is like a minimum just if you're existing and not doing much in regards to like exercise damage. So I really would recommend people to get to a 0.6 as a bare minimum and then continue to try to build up above that. If somebody exercises two or three times a week, I like to have them at least at a 0.8 gram per pound of body weight. If they weight train very aggressively four or more times per week, we like to have 1 gram per pound of body weight, and we might even move up to that 1.2 depending on different scenarios and situations. So that gives you a general idea of how much protein you should have per day. Again, you can find it for free on our website under nutrition education page, or you would use that lean body weight, that kind of ideal body weight, and multiply it by 0.6 to 1.2, and you'd be somewhere in that range. It's an enormous range. So if you want to narrow that down, I would say between 0.8 to 1 gram. That would be a pretty good range for most people listening. Now, that tells us how many grams of protein we're supposed to have per day, how many we should have per meal. As we said, it kind of depends on how many meals you have. That's the general kind of answer to that. Some tips that I have for when you're tracking protein throughout the day is to mentally track throughout the day, like literally pay attention to what you eat per meal. You can do that per meal or per time block. So it depends on the person's schedule, depends on their preference. Right now, I am actually tracking per meal, like per time I eat. I am aware of the calories and the protein that I have in the meal, and then I'll track that and I add it up throughout the day. I actually just have it on a note app in my phone, so I actually don't use a tracking app at the moment. I've used pretty much everyone under the sun because I want to know about them for clients, but my kind of default whenever I'm just doing the bare minimum and kind of pursuing some other goals is I have a notes feature on my phone, and I'll say, you know, oh, I had, you know, 2 cans of tuna and a pouch of rice with roughly about, say, 70 calories worth of a sauce. So for me, that puts me at, I believe, 800 calories and 70 grams of protein for that meal. I eat a lot of food, so my portions are probably going to be a lot bigger than yours need to be. But I'll just know that. I'll say, okay, 2 cans of tuna, pouch of rice, typical amount of dressing, 800 calories, 70 grams of protein. And it's that same calories and protein every time I eat it. So if I need to, I'll just put that at the top of my notes function and say, you know, common meals is tuna and rice. I'll know 800 calories, 70 grams of protein. Another common meal I have right now is I do a shake of orange juice, Greek yogurt, fat-free Greek yogurt, and vanilla protein powder. Might sound gross. It's actually pretty damn good. I actually like it. And that is 500 calories with 65 grams of protein. That's a very protein-rich meal, but I like that as leading into a workout. If I don't want to have a bigger meal, I want something like kind of easier on digestion that I don't feel bloated and heavy when I work out. So I'll make that shake, start drinking that within like say an hour of starting the workout. I'll either finish it or I'll start drinking it. Like I'll finish drinking it during the workout, or I'll have that as a after-workout drink or before my wife and I leave the house. If I'm like, oh, we're going to be gone for maybe 5 hours, let me take some food with me. I'll just make that shake and take it with us in the car. So that's an option. But I know that every time I have that, it's 500 calories, 65 grams of protein. So I have that in my common foods list, and then I just add that up as I go through the day. So for me, my current method is per meal. For some of my clients, we are using per time block because their number of meals isn't consistent. They don't typically have like five every day. Some days it's three, some days it's five, some days it's four, and it's kind of chaos. So we use the time block method. The time block method that I use with clients is we typically sleep 6 to 8 hours a day, so we're awake for 16 to 18 hours per day. We want to break the day down into three sections. So the first 5 to 6 hours of being awake, the second 5 to 6 hours of being awake, and the final 5 or so hours of being awake. That gives us the first third of the day, the middle third of the day, and the final third of the day. Our goal would be is to have a third of our protein in the first third of the day, a third of our protein in the middle third of the day, and a third of the protein in the final third of the day. Whether that comes in one meal or two meals or even three meals within that, like each third of the day, it's up to them. So if they just have like maybe a small breakfast and a small like mid-morning snack, as long as they get to the third of their protein goal within those two meals, they're great. Maybe by dinner, they just have one large dinner. So that one meal is going to have the full one third of the protein that they should have for that third of the day. So we'll track it per meal or per time block. And that seems to be a pretty good option for most people. Another thing we want to think about is to front load the day. Do not get behind. Really, really, really try very hard to not get behind on protein. It is really hard to catch up on protein later in the day. Protein foods are very filling. So it's hard to all of a sudden add, you know, 1.5 times the amount of protein you would typically have at a meal because you're going to feel very full from that and it might kill your hunger for later in the day if there is a meal later in the day. So if you get very behind, like you're under in breakfast or the first third of the day, you're under in the middle third of the day, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I'm at dinner and I'm supposed to have 150 grams of protein at dinner. Not going to happen likely. So try not to get behind. I know that that sounds like kind of like a duh piece of advice, but it's really, really important. So therefore, it's something to be aware of is if you can really front load your day with protein because it's very hard to make up for protein later in the day. The third tip is to have consistent meal options. I do know that not everybody likes this, but for a lot of people, this is actually wonderful because for the most part, people don't typically enjoy meals or aim to enjoy meals when they're busy. They just want to get something in their face because they know it's quote-unquote healthy or it's appropriate for their goals, or if they don't, they get super sick and low energy later in the day. So if you're eating something and you're not super concerned with really what it is, know that like what some good options are for you. Like select 2 or 3, even 4 meal options and say, okay, as long as I'm having one of those, I'm good. I don't have to think about it. Just prep it. Make sure it's available. So for example, the cans of tuna and the pouch of rice, it's a microwavable pouch of rice. It takes 90 seconds. While it's in the microwave for 90 seconds, I empty out 2 cans of tuna into a bowl. When the rice is done, I put the tuna in the bowl in the microwave for 30 seconds. And then I just mix all that together. And then I pour a little bit of sauce on it and I start eating. So that whole meal is prepped and ready in easily under 5 minutes and actually eaten in its entirety in under 10 minutes. Very quick, very easy. To make the Greek yogurt and orange juice shake, less than 3-4 minutes tops. You just shake that up and then you start drinking it as you go about doing other things. So that's also another quick, easy meal option. So that's what I do is I just have a lot of meal options that I know are fast and easy. My wife, for example, she has gluten-free bagels with an egg and a little bit of like a sugar-free jelly. And that's, we call it our breakfast sandwich for her. So that's what she'll have. We just toast the bagel. While it's toasting, we microwave the egg. It takes 35 seconds, by the way. So then when the bagel's done, slap a little bit of sugar-free jelly on there, put the egg in the middle, and then hand it to her, and she eats it. So quick and easy. Some of the nighttime options we'll have is she'll have like bonza pasta, which is chickpea pasta, which is high in protein. That you just boil some water and it takes like 8 minutes to boil or 6 to 8 minutes to cook. And then she has the pasta. We'll sometimes put some vodka sauce on it. Maybe she'll mix in a little bit of chicken breast. And so we kind of play around a little bit with what kind of sauce is on that. But quick and easy, high protein, fast, 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 fast. And that's kind of our goal when we eat is we want to eat healthy, but I don't want to spend all day prepping the food. I don't want to spend all day, you know, cleaning up after myself. So I like to have meals that have just a few meal options, a few food items, and then you just kind of crush it and move on with the day. But having consistent meal options that you know are protein rich will help you have more consistency with your protein. So those are three quick tips that can help. And then the final tip that I recently gave to one of my trainer clients or personal trainer, and we were talking about percentages of like carbs and fats and proteins and whatnot in meals. So we were in this percentage mindset. And what I told him was, is a quick, easy way to know if the meal that you're having has close enough to the right amount of protein is that 5 or 10%, between 5 to 10% of the total calories of the meal, you should have grams of protein. So if it's a 500 calorie meal, you should have 5 to 10% of that number as grams of protein. So a 500 calorie meal would have 25 to 50 grams of protein. A 250 calorie meal would have 12 to 25 grams of protein. A quick, easy way of doing that is just to do 10% and say, is it close to 10%? So if you have a 445 calorie meal, 44 is 10%, say it has 38 grams of protein, you're like, ah, that's pretty close, good, I'm good there. If it's 44 is 10% and it only has 10 grams of protein, not good. You want to be between 5 to 10% of the total calories as grams of protein, and that's specifically grams. Because in protein, it's averaged out to 4 calories per gram. So if the grams of protein is 5 to 10% of the total calories, that means it's actually 20 to 40% of the total calories are coming from protein. And that's going to be a proper percentage range for overwhelmingly most people on the planet, is 20 to 40% of their daily calories are coming from protein. They're probably doing a really good job. So again, that rule is 5 to 10% of the total calories in grams of protein. So there's a couple ideas, a couple ways to track. Like we said, is you can divide your total target divided by the number of meals you have per day. That gives you how many grams of protein you should have per day. You can also track per meal or per time block, making sure you're getting up to that daily target. Or you could also use that 5 to 10% of the total calories should come from grams of protein. So a couple options there, a couple tips we said with mentally tracking through the day. Make sure you don't get behind in the day, so you want to front load your day. And then to use consistent meal options, so that way you can have more consistency with your protein intake. Okay, I don't think anything in here was maybe earth-shattering or like profound, but hopefully it was helpful. If anybody has any questions, you can always reach out. I tend to focus the podcast on my clients because that's who I hear from the most. But if you ever have a question, you can always reach out on the website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage, we have a contact form. You can always send me any topic request or any question you would like to hear covered in a podcast. Awesome. If you like the podcast, please consider sharing the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.